Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
We're back from the movies.
That's right. Do you smell something burning right now?
Oh my God.
Why are you laughing? What's happening?
Does it smell like human flesh?
Yeah.
Ayo.
Because we just saw Evil Dead burn. There's a lot of fire in there.
Good. Because when they announced the title, I was like, there better be fucking fire. Because Evil Dead Rise was so perfect because it was in that huge high-rise building. So I was like, we better be following that trend with this titling.
Oh, yeah. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you that.
Good. That's exactly it. So we are back from having just seen Evil Dead burn. Holy shit. Like, if you, I guess the sort of initial thing is that if, you know, all the early hype and stuff have been like, it's crazy. And sometimes when that happens, you go and you see the movie and you're like, okay, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
But maybe not, you know, maybe not as much as people are hyping it up. I think this might be one of the exceptions to that.
It definitely is. From the early reviews, I guess, let's put it that way, people who saw it on social media, whatever it is, when they say you're not ready, you're not ready for this movie.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Gird your loins, you know? Get ready for it.
Yo, get ready for it. If you're not good with pretty intense, gory scenes, don't buy the popcorn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, correct. No, I think you're right.
Definitely get some water because it's hot.
Yeah, you get a little...
Not in a sexy way.
No,
just
no.
Like it's
definitely not. Just like in a, oh boy, my nerves are shot,
so
I'm sweating.
This movie is completely fucked.
It's real intense.
Yeah, and you know what? We're getting into it right away. You know the format by now.
Yes.
I hope so. It starts and it doesn't end.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yes, this is one of those that I really, really like. And I feel like, I don't know if there's like a lot more movies that are starting to do this. I'm not sure if it's an approach or whatever, but like they start within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Basically.
And it
then
just goes full tilt the entire way.
It does not stop.
No, not at
like,
all.
Like it's pretty fucking intense.
Yeah.
And even I believe the director said that he stated that his intention with this movie was, and I quote, create a visceral sensory experience that punches audiences in the gut.
Wow.
I want people to feel, God, I can't talk. To feel physically drained when they leave the theater, like they've been through an emotional and intense journey, end quote.
I think it worked.
That was exactly it.
I think it worked.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was it. So this film is directed by Sébastien Vanicek, who is a French filmmaker. This is his second feature film.
Mm-hmm.
He has done three shorts and a 2023 film called Infested or Vermin, whatever, which is like a bug movie, basically. And it sounds like it's really uncomfortable, but it caught Sam Raimi's attention apparently when he saw it.
Yep. Apparently he selected him specifically after being impressed with his work on Infested from 2023.
Also, funny little side note, depending on things, whatever, I've noticed a couple of very amusing people online who have been like, hey, nobody told me the director of this movie is actually pretty hot.
Oh my God.
Somebody described him, he looks like a French DJ, and I get it. I saw an interview and I was like, yeah, I can see it. So if that's your type, I think you might be interested. Oh gosh.
Man.
But yeah, he definitely, I think you can feel within this, and I felt this way about Evil Dead Rise with Lee Cronin too, the people who they are selecting to direct these films have a lot of love for this franchise.
Oh yeah.
Very much.
Yeah, they're trying to do something with it, and
absolutely,
for the last two movies, it's been pretty successful.
I agree.
You know, it's not like the previous movies, it's not too campy.
No.
You know?
And I honestly wouldn't really shit on any film in this franchise. I enjoy all of them in completely different ways for completely different reasons, whether you're talking about the early ones and what they did, the real like campiness of something like Army of Darkness, and then the 2013 remake that Fede Alvarez directed is much darker in tone, probably the darkest in tone because it never really has much comedy in it. A lot, every other one
That's
I think
true.
Has a lot more moments of levity.
And this one too.
Yeah, including this one, 100%. And that one never does, really, but it works really well. There's something, like, really well executed about that film, too. I don't know. They keep picking new directors or up-and-comers to direct these films, and I think it's really smart because they seem to be finding people who just have a really good grasp on, like, what to do with the film.
And it works.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, while we're watching this movie, I thought about Lee Cronin's The Mummy. And that apparently, like, it's canon because it's
Dead
World and everything. 100%. And for some reason, despite the fact that I didn't like that movie as much, you guys can listen to that episode. Yeah. We have it.
We liked it, but we didn't love it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I feel like it made me like that movie more.
Oh, I get it.
Because of what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's weird. I don't know why. But now it's something connected in my brain, and I was like, oh, okay.
Maybe you're like, maybe I should just give The Mummy a rewatch and now see how I feel about it.
Yeah, because you're going to watch it from kind of a different angle and stuff, right?
Agreed.
With this movie in mind.
Because especially at the time that The Mummy was released, he had not yet said that out loud,
confirmed
that it was canon and it was part. And I don't know if maybe he just did that after the fact, but it does make sense when you watch the movie, obviously, you know, that ties in very well. But yeah, I kind of understand. It almost feels like you could do like a triple feature of like Evil Dead Rise, The Mummy, and this, and just be like, okay,
yeah,
I'm in the universe.
100%. All of this definitely happens. Puts you in the universe.
Yep.
Oh man.
Oh Lord. Okay, so let me read the IMDb synopsis before we start getting too far into things and getting into like the craziness of it. I'll do the IMDb synopsis overview of cast, and then we can kind of get into the meat and potatoes of it.
Sounds good. You and your meat and potatoes again.
I think I'm just hungry.
Oh, Christ.
You know, like when you eat...
It's late.
You know, like when you eat popcorn, and it's kind of like you have a rock in your stomach after, but also you want to eat food because you need something substantial.
Yes, that's how I can see that.
Yeah, that's how I feel when we come home from the movies a lot. That's
just going to make you meat and potatoes, and every time we come from the movies, you're going to have to
just eat. Just give me like a teeny tiny little portion of things, and I'd be really happy.
But, okay. I'm done.
Shush, let me read the synopsis. After the loss of her husband, a woman seeks solace with her in-laws. As one by one, they're transformed into deadites, she comes to discover that the vows she took in life survive even in death. This is not super correct, but whatever.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I like it.
The beginning doesn't make any sense. She does not take solace with them.
No.
So.
She takes refuge.
She takes...
Not really.
Forcible...
Yes.
...time spent. Yeah.
Forced proximity.
Gosh, is it ever. It's really uncomfortable. So, the cast in this are like kind of a mixed sort of bag of people. The film was... It was actually filmed in New Zealand, which is cool. And the cast is kind of made up of all sorts of different people. So we have our lead character, Alice, played by Suelia Jakub. She's a Swiss actress.
Interesting. Okay.
Who was also in the Gaspar Noé film Climax, which is a really weird psychological one from, I want to say, like 2018 or 2019 or something. Very trippy. Tandy Wright plays the character of Susan, who is Alice's mother-in-law. Hunter Dewan, who most people know from Wednesday, plays the character of Joseph, who is her brother-in-law. And then his girlfriend, Thea, is played by Lucianne Buchanan. The father is played by Errol Shand. His character's name is Edgar. And I want to say that Polly is the grandmother, if I'm not mistaken. She's grandma, right? It's Polly, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Okay. Is played by an actress named Maud Davey. And then we have the character of Will, who is the husband who has passed away. He is played by an actor named George Puller.
All right.
So that's our main cast. A lot of less knowns, which I love. It worked really well in the last one, too. And I think we need to keep doing that because I really appreciate it.
That's fair enough. Yes. And not too big of a cast, which is great because you really don't need that with this movie.
No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that's at all. Intense. It's not necessary at all for the purposes of everything. So, okay, do you want to do just initial thoughts and digs, and then we can get into everything else?
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of did initial thoughts already.
Okay,
so
we'll go to digs right
now. Give me your dig situation.
So I just want to say a couple of things before that.
Yes.
So first of all, there are two post-credit scenes, so definitely stick around for that.
We're not going to talk about what they are, even in the spoilery bits. I really don't want to give that away.
You can find out and probably find some content online that tells you what it is. The second one is definitely cooler.
I mean, yeah.
I would say, but regardless.
The first one is levity, I would say, and the second one is like an interesting tie-in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, I do want to say, as a reminder for everyone, you know, if you want to listen ads-free on
We're on Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
And we're ad-free on Spotify. We're also on all the other platforms, but we are ad-free on Spotify.
Except for the ads that, you know, Spotify ads if you don't have a paid account.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That we can control.
No, no. Don't get mad.
All right. You know what? I was trying to think of a score for this for myself. I also think we need to have like a very defined grid of what it is. We're going to make it. Okay, we're going to make it happen. A defined grid so that it is fair. But this one is definitely like an eight. Yeah, eight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Easily, easily an eight. Just there's so much happening. It doesn't let you breathe for a second, except for a literal 2-3 seconds when there's like funny bits.
Yes.
Which are actually well done.
Yes.
For once.
Yeah.
You know, the mummy. Anyways. But yeah, it's yes.
Very much. I was thinking about it on the way home, and I'm feeling like I'm kind of in the same space. I think a 7.5 or an 8 is kind of where I'm sitting right now, in the sense that it gave me what I wanted from an Evil Dead film, really. You know, the like very high octane, action basically never stops the entire way through the film. The performances are really good the whole way through. The effects and everything, we'll get into all the detail of it, but they're fantastic.
Absolutely amazing.
Fabulous. There's so much great cinematography in the film as well. Yes.
Beautiful
really
shots.
Cool, really cool shots, a lot of really interesting stuff. And for me also, I found anyway, in terms of plot, surprisingly like much deeper messages about certain things that I won't talk about right now than I think maybe I was kind of expecting going in. You know, we were expecting things like we've seen her husband's passed away and stuff like that, so we assumed that grief would be part of this process. But there are other hidden aspects of things that you don't quite know about right away that I thought were pretty well executed, honestly, throughout the course of the film.
That's fair enough.
So yeah,
it's true.
So I'm also about an 8-ish, 7.5, 8 right now. Yeah.
I get it, for sure. All right, we're going to get a bit into the spoiler territory, but as you know, we don't go through the whole thing into detail, and we definitely don't mention some of the really, really cool, interesting thing, because that would just ruin it for
watch
you as an experience.
The movie.
You should definitely watch it, but you will definitely get a good gist of what happens and what is great about it.
Yeah, because there's actually quite a bit to dissect with this, so.
Yes, but it's also not going to be an hour, so it's okay.
No, it's fine.
All right, bring on Gary and we'll do this.
Okay, before we do,
we
always like to just throw in here, please feel free to rate and review us if you're listening, and if you do and if you have, thank you so very much.
Yes, it helps a lot.
Yes, thank very, you. Very much. Gary is or has been digging a grave in your honor. He's a bit of a slow motherfucker, which is why we don't pay him. Anyway,
wow.
Gary, get over here. Jesus. You got to do the spoilers.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
Exactly, sort of the general gist of that synopsis that IMDb had is pretty much what the inciting incident of the film is. Alice is our lead character. She is an expat from France who is living in the States, and she has been married to her husband, Will, for like a little while. He passes away in what they think is a car accident. Obviously, we basically see it right from the beginning that he's attacked by a deadite, who is one of the tie-ins to this from Evil Dead Rise that we've seen. And this was something that was vaguely revealed in the trailer. You did see it a little bit, and a lot of people had some fan theories. So I think it's Jessica, if I'm not mistaken, is the name of the character who we had seen in opened the cold open of Evil Dead Rise, and then she bookends it at the end of the film as well when she gets possessed by the deadite. This is the character at the lake who has been possessed and kills her friends. She makes a reappearance at the beginning of the film with a really great cold open with another couple of characters who we haven't really seen yet who are fishing. They get a cool sequence in the water and everything like that. And then from there, Will's character is driving and hits her, obviously, because she's purposely standing in the middle of the road. And so, of course, everything looks like a car accident, but obviously he is killed specifically by
that her. Whole sequence was so fucked up.
It was really good.
She was just like walking into the woods and then standing by the side of the road for like half a day.
Yeah, she was waiting.
See the sun go down and everything.
She was waiting for this specific person.
This
she knew he was coming.
Person. Yes. And then she just walks out in
and
front
there
of the
are
car
reasons,
was speeding.
There are reasons for that. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this is like the whole...
It's the setup.
Overarching setup and opening of the film. And then from there, obviously, we're following Alice's character, who is going to see her in-laws for the first time, and we're given to understand about a year since the last time she's seen them, in order to go to, because she says she hasn't seen the dog in a year.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Nice. You caught that. That's yeah. Cool. All
right. So she's going to see, she goes to see them because, of course, they have requested that Will's funeral be held like in their place of their choosing, essentially. And mm-hmm. she's gone along with their wishes and is then spending a little bit of time with them. She's extremely hesitant to do so because she feels that they have never liked her or approved of hers and Will's relationship at all. I don't think she's wrong. and of course, from this inciting incident with Will dying, the deadites begin to pass along their like infection or their possession the way that they do between different members of the family. So it kicks off with the father, Edgar, and then through the remainder of the film starts to transfer itself.
Yeah, it was like kind of almost like a zombie infection.
Very
much. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. This is one of the first times I feel like we've ever really seen it transferred this way through characters, right?
Like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was always like, in this one specifically, was like either you have to get hurt by them or see someone die by them.
There's a transfer of bodily fluid in
that's
this one.
That's it. Yeah, that's kind of like, that's how it transfers over. Anyways, it was very interesting. I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was an interesting thing because it did, I think you're completely right. It did really remind me of like a zombie or like a viral infection mm-hmm. kind of story.
I think
story.
That made me like it more.
Probably. I like it so you love that shit. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, we're not getting into like all the major stuff, but there are certain things I do want to give. I do want to give a trigger warning for animal violence.
If you're asking if the dog dies in this movie, yes, it does.
Yeah, okay.
It's
so
fucked up.
I do want to give that because that's one of those things that I feel that a lot of people are affected by. Also, trigger warning for domestic violence because there is, surprisingly, a plot point
that's what
to
you
do.
Were just
yeah,
right?
That's it. There is a pretty hefty plot point that has to do with this, unfortunately.
I feel like it's a subplot that drives the movie, but it is definitely not hidden.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's not, but it also drives the Alice's character and her decisions,
yes.
I think, pretty heavily throughout the course of the film as well.
100%. And we see it like right from the get-go. It's not
something
you
that can you basically
have to
tell in the
try
opening.
To understand.
No. You can pretty much see what this relationship is like mm-hmm. between her and Will from the beginning.
And then you find out that it's actually worse than what you're seeing.
Correct.
It's like,
yeah. Damn. Yeah. It seems bad. And then you're like, oh, great. We've just scratched the surface. That's mm-hmm. good. That's fun. That's great. I will fully say that all the men in this film fucking suck. They're terrible.
Yeah.
All the male characters in the film, not the people playing them, the characters in this film who are men are awful.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
They're terrible.
Mean, the mom is also pretty bad.
She is as well, but
she's
feel like...
She's kind of like the only one, though.
Yeah, but I feel like Susan's character is given explanations to a degree for why she is the way that she is. It's not excusable.
Yeah.
But it is understandable mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. different ways. You know, whereas with Will's character or with, as we see, Joseph's character, who I thought I was going to like more initially.
I know, me too.
Sorry if you can hear the cat. He's having a moment. I don't know.
Yeah, he's asking for more food probably, even though he was just fed.
He
so
would
whatever.
Just gave him food. Is it like this in anyone else's house? Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, who I genuinely thought that Joseph was going to be a character that I was going to sympathize with a lot more. Yeah, I stopped.
I know.
I stopped pretty early on.
It's bad. Whatever. You know, we're in the spoiler bit
Yeah,
we're going to say some spoilers. They are trying to leave the house, speeding in a car, and his girlfriend is driving because the dad got hurt, whatever. And then he obviously is a deadite by that point, and he starts attacking the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a crazy sequence in the car that's happening. Apparently, from the little preview we saw, the director was saying that didn't have a lot of time left or whatever, and it had to be a sequence that kind of like starts some of the story, and didn't have a lot of time left to shoot it, so he was like, fuck it, we're just gonna sit in the car and do it
with a camera, like, and we're gonna map it out and we're gonna do
it. And he like just got into the car with them, and he himself did it and stuff. So anyways, but he starts attacking the girlfriend, and at first, what's his name again?
Joseph.
I forget.
No,
he
fine.
Tries to defend her,
mm-hmm.
but also not as much
kind
as
of a little toothlessly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I understand like it's your father and everything, but like he's literally trying to kill a person, and you have a gun in your hands, and you don't shoot him. I'm not saying you have to shoot the person in the head, but injure them.
You could,
you know
you
what
could
I mean?
You could kneecap the man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then, even worse than this,
oh my god,
he literally leaves the car.
Yeah. Okay, we were sitting in the theater and this happened. literally, Arthur leans over and goes, he goes, wow, he sucks. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Because by the minute that anything is like going to happen, he's just like, yeah, I'm bouncing by. And yep. I'm like, you've left her in there.
It's pretty bad.
It was nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's crazy. Edgar sucks from the beginning, the father. He's like very off-putting, I think, to begin with already. Like you can almost see maybe where Will gets like the violent tendencies from to an extent. His father's a very like aggressive person and it's just already there. So you're like, ah, okay, I see what's going on. That's not fun. Thea, the Joseph's girlfriend, is another character that I do feel quite bad for because, again, she's just trying to help navigate this for everyone. She's trying to help Joseph. She's trying to help Alice.
I like her the most, actually. I think she's the most balanced.
I agree. I feel like her and then followed by Alice were probably the characters that I was the most like, you know, they felt the most human and I felt the most sympathy for both of these characters, for sure. And then, wait, okay, do you have a favorite character? Because I sure know who mine was.
I don't know. Is yours the grandma?
Yep.
Oh, Christ, of course.
She was incredible. I loved grandma.
So grandma was the funny bits of this movie that grandma kind of provided a relief for like 5 seconds here and there during the movie. She just kept thinking that Joseph's girlfriend was trying to steal her money.
Yes.
All the time.
God, she was so funny.
It was absolutely hilarious. It works in the scenes that were being played, but anyways.
Very much. It all came out at like really good times. And even early in the film, there's an entire sequence with Will's cremation that's meant to be happening. Mm-hmm. And it's like the guy who's working in the crematorium is very funny. Like he's just sort of, it's very dry and very funny. And it just sort of, I made me realize that there's definitely like a French director behind this, because I find a lot of French films tend to have that very dry sense of humor to them.
Yeah, I agree. Even that scene was so awful because it was kind of funny.
Oh my god!
Because the caskets on the rollers get stuck. Anyways,
it made me laugh.
I know. Very much. It
reminded
funny,
me of like that really dry, like silly sort of thing that you see in a lot of films. Like, do you remember that movie, Le Manoir, The Manor?
Kind.
From like it's from like a good few years ago, maybe like almost like 10 years ago at this point. It's a French film about a bunch of friends that go to this old manor for New Year's.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's so good.
It's hilarious.
And we also recently watched a really interesting zombie film that I cannot remember the name of right now. That was like a one take film almost that starts at like a house party and then continues and follows characters throughout the whole night. I thought it was really interesting.
It was absolutely amazing. I cannot believe I'm blanking on it.
I know, me too. I've completely forgotten the name of it. But anyway, whatever. Just to say that these filmmakers in general, like a lot of French filmmakers, have this really great way of adding levity to certain moments without
It's called MADS. Sorry.
Thank you.
It's MADS.
Thank you, MADS. Okay, that's it. I was like, it's like 3 or 4 letters and it's one word and I don't know what it is. Anyway, that's a cool one. If you haven't seen it, you should check that out. There's a lot of really good performances in that as well. And the camera work is fabulous. So good. Anyway, sorry. So, shall we kick off favorites?
Yes.
3 favorites.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Definitely 3 favorites for me. Number one, like I said initially, it's the fast paced action of this movie doesn't stop. I absolutely loved it because it gets you in.
Yeah,
it grips you and doesn't let go until the end.
Gosh.
So like you're in this movie. There's no moment of like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, kind of like,
well, you
not
don't gonna
find pay attention to too much here.
Yeah, you don't really find your attention wandering because it can't.
Yeah.
You don't have time.
You don't have time.
Not at
Shit's
all.
Shit's happening all the time, all over the place.
Yeah, it's wild.
The director, even like, because there's so much action and gore in here, literally the director had to remove or trim down a scene to receive the NC-17 and the R rating for theaters. Because like one he described it as like a really, really hard scene. And apparently it just would have pushed it like way beyond
I can't even
imagine what it is, because there's a few
scenes in this that you're like, whoa.
Yeah, but like that one scene where, you know, he bashes the head and you see literally everything.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Absolutely insane.
Yes, and that brings me to my number one, which are the practical effects in this.
Oh, they're amazing.
Are so good. The character of Edgar has holes in the side of his head for a very long portion of the film and many of the shots he's in. There's a scene that I won't get too far into, but there's a kissing scene between him and Susan's character, and you can just see the entire side of his face that's missing. Yeah. That's the entire reason that that scene exists. Mm-hmm. It looked so good.
Incredible.
Ugh.
I don't know if it was like practical, half the effects.
I don't know, but it looked really practical just to see it.
So that's what I'm thinking. I think it was mostly practical, but then they added the effects on top
maybe
of it.
Maybe they overlaid a bit to help with
it. Yeah, that's it for like, I don't know, the glistening or the blood dripping, whatever it is, you know?
And also some of the mechanics and the movement and stuff, it can look a little bit funky sometimes, right? So, yeah.
Insane.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah, so good. They looked really great. Even what was like VFX, like what was CG and things like that, everything looked really good because there's like an entire like burned character and stuff like that. And all of it just, it's seamless. It looks great the entire way through, genuinely. Yeah. The effects are so good. If you're really into that kind of thing, you're going to love this movie. It looks great.
Yeah, I agree. It's very good. Yeah. I did like, as a second thing, kind of like a little depth to the story that was added throughout the whole thing, because we learned that Joseph's granddad was part of the circle of
wise men.
Exactly, which is kind of like those people who found the Necronomicon, and then they were also trying to prevent things from happening by discovering weapons that could kill the Deadites, you know, and preventing them from coming back and everything.
The Kandarian dagger.
That's it, the Kandarian dagger and everything. So, like, there is good layering of story there that kind of like helped solidify it in your head of actually what's happening, and it's not just it's the Book of the Dead, don't read from it, and then everyone just fucking reads from it all the time.
Yeah, so the sort of interconnectedness, I guess, of this part of the franchise is that what they've done is they've had it so that Joseph and Will's grandfather was also a professor who became friends with Professor Raymond Nobe, who is the professor that we hear on the tapes in the original film. Had found the Necronomicon and had been reading from it, and the whole sequence of events kicks off because of all of this in the original film, connects throughout all of them, essentially. So the character of the grandfather was friends with him and also became basically obsessed with the Necronomicon and finding the weapons and everything to use against the Deadites. Like, that was a whole thing. And so he became part of this Order of the Wise Men, which also in and of itself, Circle of Wise Men, which is like basically a connection to Army of Darkness, because there's a mage who helps Ash with his own knowledge of the Deadites. And so I think the idea is basically that this mage down through the centuries would have passed along this lineage of information, basically, which became this Circle of Wise Men, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, the grandfather becomes part of that story as well.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying. So all that, I really like that interconnectedness. That
there's a lot of great.
Woven into.
Like, you got that.
It goes from the first movies into the third one and, you know,
and into the. Into like Evil Dead Rise, which we see that's the connection with that Jessica character coming back in the lake and everything like that.
In this one, and I feel like it will most likely, because logic, have a connection for Evil Dead Wrath, which they are also either filming or finished filming, or it's very close.
Yeah.
Because that one, at least from what I remember, could be wrong, it's supposed to be set in like the 60s or the 70s. There we go. Yeah. That's it. And it's probably going to be one of those that like Circle of Wise Men. Something happened back in the days, whatever. You know?
I can only imagine, that maybe the Circle of Wise Men will be a recurring thing that we'll see, which is, that's cool. I'm really interested to see some more of like the lore from that perspective and kind of how that works, because we get it a lot from, very often in these films, we get it from the characters who don't really know what's going on.
Yes.
They come across passages, they read them, they listen to them on records, and then bad shit starts to happen and you're like, oh no. But it could be interesting to maybe have certain characters who have like proper working knowledge of what this is. I think that would be really interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I'm really curious to see where that goes.
We'll see.
In terms of my second favorite, I want to say is probably like you were talking about, that's it, your favorite being the plot point, that's it, like all of the interconnectedness between the franchise films.
Love it.
Mine, from a plot perspective, I think is the kind of deeper layers of the arcs that the different characters are experiencing.
Okay,
and I guess it's not that I wasn't expecting that much necessarily, but I guess, if I'm honest, maybe part of me wasn't necessarily. And there's oddly a lot of sort of poignant messaging about, you know, like toxic relationships and abuse within relationships, and how it's very easy for people to say, to either ignore things that are happening, or it's very easy for people on the outside of it to kind of be like, oh, just leave, just get out. But that's not the way that these things work, and that mm-hmm. people have to go through an entire grieving process. And for a character like Alice, it's so very layered, because she has to go through a process of grieving this person who treated her atrociously,
which is like very hard
and
to
was
do,
abusive,
you know?
And so she almost needs to go through this entire other insane experience to get a certain level of closure by the end of the film, which I thought was really interesting. And that you get layers of certain other characters, like Susan the mother, and what she has had to deal with in having her father abandon the family, allegedly, but it does seem like he did it to protect them more so, from what we're given to understand.
From what we're given to understand, yes.
Or at least from his own perspective, followed by her having to take care of her sister and her mother on her own, and how that has hardened her, and she clings on to her children, particularly Will, her oldest, as like the only good thing in her life, essentially. Like, anyway, there's just like a lot to what the characters experience in the film that I think I just wasn't expecting to be quite as deep as it was, and I really appreciated it.
But it's not also too much in your face, you know what I mean? Like, it's layered very lightly for you to understand what's happening and to have an impact, but it's not like, this is what this movie means, you have to think about it really hard, whatever. That's a good thing in a sense that, you know, like, you just get enough of it, but not like, it's not in your face to try to tell you there's a message and stuff. So.
No, that's it.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. My last one would, and I have to say this, like, you know, you mentioned it, it is the cinematography.
Yeah.
There is shots in there that are absolutely insane.
They're
that
so
I would
cool.
totally have like a background.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's, my God, there's that shot with the dad standing outside with the, you know, he's deadite
mm-hmm.
with the dog, which also becomes deadite. And
I have such an easier time with it when it's just like a, like, CG'd eyes on the dog, like it's
already
a deadite or whatever. Everything that happens before then really, really bothered me.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That shot is absolutely amazing. I don't know what it was about it, but it was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, as you probably saw in the trailer, you know, the house completely burns down.
Yeah.
You know, ergo Evil Dead Burn.
Yes.
So there's shots of that when things are happening. Absolutely insane. Anyways, it's very, very cool, very well done.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you mentioned Mads, because Philip Lozano, mm-hmm. who is the cinematographer for this movie, he did also Mads.
Oh, really?
He was camera operator.
Nice.
So maybe he wasn't one of the several people there, but he was camera operator for Mads. He also did director of photography on The Nun 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did that. He did Furies, camera operator there. There's a bunch of stuff that are here as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know them that much. They're probably a little bit more not American. Let's put it that
yeah,
way.
They're
not
European.
North American. That's it, European. But, I mean, hey, I'm not surprised at all to see how it translated from him doing Mads to this.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
Yes, which, by the way, is from 2024, if you're looking for it.
Yeah, literally a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's great.
Wow, that's cool.
I know, right?
I really appreciate it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. I think in terms of third kind of favorite, I mean, there's a lot to choose from, honestly, but in terms of third favorite, I'm going to have to go with overall, and I will kind of like say this is overarchingly, really the cast performances.
Okay,
I thought they were excellent. There was no one that I was like, oh, I don't buy anything that this person's
mm-hmm,
doing,
mm-hmm.
saying, whatever the case may be. And I loved that we got so many different facets within the performances throughout the course of the film, whether it was someone like, you know, Alice has obviously the biggest through line, but like I mentioned, Susan's character, Thea's character, who I, again, have a lot of sympathy for and is just trying to help manage the situation as much as possible with a stupid, cowardly boyfriend next to her who actually does suck.
Yeah.
And again, I thought he did a great job of kind of moving through what you think is going to be a sympathetic character into actually kind of like a pathetic, spineless character that you're like,
so good.
Yuck.
That actor is amazing.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great. He's great. And Wednesday, I really want to see him do more stuff.
Yeah.
The father, I thought, was excellent. Edgar, I thought he was really, really good.
Instantly hateable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which
and,
is, you know, when an actor...
Which is probably the point.
That's what I'm saying. When a character, when you play a character like that, that you instantly get into a specific frame of mind with that character, you are doing a great job
and
as an actor.
I mean, it's always so these types of films, I find, always demonstrate how strong a lot of the performances are, because many of the characters become deadites and they flip so much when they do that you can really see the range of the people. Like Thea is such a sympathetic character, and her deadite version is so good at being like that, like zany, like really eerie kind of creep that she is for the rest of the film, and she's like legitimately scary, you know. And even unlike Grandma Polly,
well, the grandma
is so funny,
hilarious, she's so funny. But also really well played.
But again,
right? Like she plays like a person with dementia and stuff, and then she turns into a deadite and stuff. Seriously, I was kind of hoping that she gets completely fucked up, like in The Mummy, because Lee Cronin also produced this movie.
Oh. Did he really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I mean, he's one of the producers, so he probably threw some money in there. Sure, maybe had some creative directory.
Sure.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
But in The Mummy, in his, the Lee Cronin's The Mummy, the grandma gets so destroyed, which was almost sad.
I felt so bad.
I know, right? And I was thinking, oh my God, are they going to do it to this one as well? Which, you know,
I mean, didn't. Not exactly, because they do. They change her into a deadite. But,
yes.
But, but she's just funny. Again, she's... Her character is made for moments of levity, largely. And even after she turns, she's kind of there for levity as well. So, you know, she gets a lot of really
there's
fun scenes.
There's that hilarious scene where they lock Thea, right?
Thea, yeah.
In kind of like the basement. And she's trying to punch through the door.
Oh, my God.
To get out. And she punches kind of like a hole just enough to see a little bit of half of her face and an eye. And the grandma is there on the first floor. And she's like, oh, are you trying to come back to steal my money? It's so funny. And then the deadite is so like...
Lucianne Buchanan is like, she's there and she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I have your money to give back to you.
Yeah, that's it. Even the deadite version was so like, what the fuck is going on?
What's up with this old bitch? Yeah.
It's so hilarious.
It's so funny.
Oh, God.
Again, these are really, they're really great little small clever moments of levity. Throughout the course of the film, and they were just all of the humor I thought was woven in really, really, really well.
Yes.
So I was really happy to see that, because I thought that they did the same thing in Evil Dead Rise, and then I was disappointed that in The Mummy I didn't feel that way. So
it just didn't land in there, but whatever.
No, that's it. So it was nice to see in this. I was happy about that. Yeah, this is a really great entry into the franchise. I think if anything, like, I really liked Evil Dead Rise, and this has gotten me even more excited to kind of see how things continue to expand. 1970 setting, I think, is going to be pretty cool for the next one.
Definitely.
Really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be really great. So I'm just looking forward to it. I just can't wait to see what else kind of happens here.
Same.
Yay.
It's supposed to be next year, so that's soonish.
I think it might be 2028.
Anyway. Really?
Yeah, I think I was looking and I just saw that it was actually 2028 now.
Fine.
Whatever. We'll see. Maybe we'll get it sooner. Who knows? Anyway, hopefully, if you're here, you guys have seen it and you enjoyed it. But you can let us know, you know, over on our socials and everything at Gravetone Pod. You can let us know, like, what you thought of it. Did you enjoy the film? Was it not what you were expecting? Whatever.
Yeah. Or comment on the episodes, as some other people do. Definitely love to engage there as well.
Yeah, let us know what your thoughts were about everything. So we're at Gravetone Pod. You can also check out the website at gravetonepod.com. All of our episodes are there. We've got some news pieces and things like that, as there's like new stuff that drops in terms of like new news about horror. Yay. We've got also our horror movie picker quiz there.
Yeah.
It's four questions. If you don't know what to watch tonight, you answer a few questions and it gives you three different options. It's always different.
Three.
You made it. Three options, and they are curated by us specifically.
Yeah.
It's films that we actually enjoy.
That's
didn't
it.
Just randomly generate it. Yeah. So.
There's a bunch of stuff. So anyways, go check it out.
Go check
and
that out.
Again, thank you very much for listening and rating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next, as early as next week, we're going to be kicking off our Fantasia Film Festival coverage.
Yes.
Because the 30th anniversary of Fantasia kicks off next Thursday, the 16th. I'm so excited. We have been so, so very fortunate that we do have media accreditation this year. So we are going to be checking out a ton of different movies during the festival. We're going to be reviewing stuff. We're going to be talking about what the festival is and kind of how everything works. We're going to have a lot in the next few weeks.
It's going to be great.
So get ready for that. And hopefully it'll give you guys a lot to put on your watch lists for things that are coming up, which I can't wait. It's going to be great. In the meantime, obviously follow us everywhere so you can keep up with all of that. But until then, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.